Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, September the 14th, 2018. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us day by day and to show us on every side the fulfillment of your word. We ask that you would continue to protect us and to prepare us for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to take a look at an article that is found in the Pulpit and Pen website. That's Pulpit and Pen. The article was published on July the 10th, 2018. And the title of the article is Brent Kavanaugh, Roman Catholic Jesuit, Unlikely to Overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, of course, this article is about the nominated Supreme Court Justice of the Trump administration, Brett Kavanaugh. And if you notice the emphasis of the article and most of the discussion that has been taking place in the media has to do with the possibility of overturning Roe versus Wade, the difference between choice and life, the concept of those who are objecting to abortion and those who believe that it is a woman's right to make that choice. However, while that is obsessing the discussion, there is a much more important issue that needs to be attended to. And so today, first, I'm going to take a look at this article in Pulpit and Pen, published July the 10th, 2018. The title of the article is Brett Kavanaugh, Roman Catholic Jesuit, Unlikely to Overturn Roe. Here's the article. If you were hoping for a born-again Protestant to finally serve on the Supreme Court, keep up your wishful thinking or sincere prayers. It's probably not going to happen anytime soon. At 23.9% of the American population, Roman Catholics make up 66.6% of the Supreme Court. At 1.4% of the American population, Jews make up 33% of the Supreme Court. President Donald Trump's latest nominee for the highest court will not change those figures. In other words, the writer of the article is saying, for a Protestant nation, we've got no Protestants on the Supreme Court. Continuing. Brett Kavanaugh is a Roman Catholic and is a regular lector at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Washington, D.C. Not to be confused with Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament of Our Lady of the Angel Monastery, which is in Birmingham, Alabama. That church claims to serve 9,497 men, women, and children as of 2012. He is also closely tied to the Jesuit order, lecturing and teaching at the Washington Jesuit Academy. He also attended the Georgetown Preparatory Academy, the same Jesuit high school that was attended by Neil Gorsuch. And of course, remember now, Neil Gorsuch is the man who has been nominated and accepted into the Supreme Court just before Kavanaugh. He also a Jesuit. In fact, Kavanaugh even mentioned the Jesuit component of his high school on Monday night in his acceptance speech, saying, "The motto of my Jesuit high school was, 'Men for others,'" he said. "I have tried to live that creed." All right, now that's a section of that article found in Pulpit and Pen website, published July the 10th, 2018, and the title, Brett Kavanaugh, Roman Catholic Jesuit, Unlikely to Overturn Roe. Now, the reason why I read that article first is because I want to continue to take a look at the book that we've been looking at in some of our past programs. And it's a book written by Kirk Davis. Now, the title of that book is The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final hours. Again, the dramatic events of Earth's final hours, written by Kirk Davis. Now, this book was originally published in August 1982. And I'd like to take a look at chapter 13, entitled The United States of America. The United States of America. Let me say this again. The book that I'm now going to read from is The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final Hours by Kirk Davis, originally published August 1982, chapter 13, The United States of America. Here's that chapter. We must now show that the papacy is the most deadly enemy the United States will ever have to face. Using the utmost secrecy to conceal her plans, the papacy, through her facade of religion, has for many decades been infiltrating the United States in all levels of government. As a result, the United States will soon lose its constitution and become a tyrannical persecuting power. Don't misunderstand me. We have seen that the Catholic Church is not a Christian religion. It is a strange combination of the old pagan religions with a Christian facade. Just because they claim to be a Christian church does not make it so. For many decades, the papacy has been laying plans for the takeover of the United States. This goal of the papacy is clearly stated in Charles Chiniquy's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Of course, we here on this program have quoted from that book, but here, the writer of this article, the writer of this book, Kirk Davis, is about to quote from 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Listen to the quote that he is making here. "We are determined to take possession of the United States and rule them, but we cannot do that without acting secretly and with utmost wisdom. If our plans become known, they will surely be defeated." And he's taken that from Charles Chiniquy's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, page 373. He continues to quote from Charles Chiniquy's book. It says, on page 374 of this book, we read, "How sad will their awakening be when, with our outnumbered votes, we will turn them forever from every position of honor, power, and profit. What will those hypocritical and godless sons and daughters of the fanatical pilgrims say when not a single judge, not a single teacher, not a single policeman will be elected if he be not a devoted Roman Catholic? What will those so-called giants think of their matchless shrewdness and ability when not a single senator or member of Congress will be chosen if he be not submitted to our Holy Father the Pope? What a sad figure those Protestant Yankees will cut when we will not only elect the president, but fill and command the armies, man the navies, and hold the keys of the public treasury. Then, yes, then we will rule the United States and lay them at the feet of the Vicar of Jesus Christ the Pope, when he may put that he may put an end to their godless system of education and sweep away those impious laws of liberty of conscience which are an insult to God and man." So notice, the author of the book, Kirk Davis, is quoting from Charles Chiniquy's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, and he's reading from page 374. He continues to quote from Charles Chiniquy's book. He says the following, "The American people must be very blind indeed if they do not see that if they do nothing to prevent it, the day is very near when the Jesuits will rule their country. From the magnificent White House in Washington to the humblest civil and military department of this vast republic." That's also on page 374. Again, I want you to know that I'm reading from The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final Hours, written by Kirk Davis, originally published August 1982, and we are in chapter 13. Chapter 13 is entitled the United States of America. And we've just read quotes from page 373 and page 374. Continuing the article. As we have seen, when they say Vicar of Jesus Christ, they mean the Pope. As you read this chapter, keep in mind that they have said it is their goal to take over the United States and trash the Constitution. The American Constitution is thoroughly detested by the papacy because the freedom safeguards it contains makes it impossible for the papacy, through their Jesuits, to take over the United States as long as the Constitution is in force. Here's a statement from the same book that shows the power these people have amassed in the United States. And now he's about to quote from the same book, Charles Chiniquy's 50 Years in the Church of Rome, page 375. Here's what he says. The Jesuits of the United States form one of the richest and most powerful corporations the world ever saw. That's 50 Years in the Church of Rome, page 375. Now, incidentally, I want you to know that the original publication of 50 Years in the Church of Rome was in the year 1885. Continuing. The papacy is by far the wealthiest institution on earth. Now, the author of the book quotes from Avril Manhattan's book entitled The Vatican Billions, page 17. Here's what that says. Jesus, the founder of Christianity, was the poorest of the poor. Roman Catholicism, which claims to be his church, is the richest of the rich. That's Avril Manhattan's book, The Vatican Billions, page 17. He quotes the author of the book, again quotes from another author. The name of the author is Jack Chick, C-H-I-C-K. In his book, Smoke Screens, chapter 10, says the following. The Catholic Church is the biggest financial power, wealth accumulator, and property owner in existence. She is a greater possessor of material riches than any other single institution, corporation, bank, giant trust, government, or state of the whole globe. Continuing the book. And now, of course, that last quote I read comes from Jack Chick's book, Smokescreens, chapter 10. Continuing. Very few people know anything about the Jesuits because of their extreme secrecy. Here's a description of them from the book The Great Controversy that shows the abominable character and deceptiveness of the Pope's Jesuits. And now the author of the book that we're reading from today, entitled The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final Hours, now he quotes from The Great Controversy. And he is quoting from The Great Controversy, page 234. Here is what he says. Throughout Christendom, Protestantism was menaced by formidable foes. The first triumphs of the Reformation passed, Rome summoned new forces, hoping to accomplish its destruction. At this time, the Order of the Jesuits was created, the most cruel, unscrupulous, and powerful of all the champions of popery. Cut off from earthly ties and human interests, dead to the claims of natural affection, reason and conscience, holy silence, they knew no rule, no tie, but that of their order, and no duty but to extend its power. The gospel of Christ had enabled its adherents to meet danger and ensure suffering, undismayed by cold, hunger, toil, and poverty, to uphold the banner of truth in face of the rack, the dungeon, and the stake. To combat these forces, Jesuitism inspired its followers with a fanaticism that enabled them to endure like dangers and to oppose to the power of truth all the weapons of deception. There was no crime too great for them to commit, no deception too base for them to practice, no disguise too difficult for them to assume. Vowed to perpetual poverty and humility, it was their studied aim to secure wealth and power, to be devoted to the overthrow of Protestantism and the reestablishment of the papal supremacy. Now the author continues to quote from E.G. White's book, The Great Controversy, page 234 and 235. Here's what she says here. When appearing as members of their order, they wore a garb of sanctity, visiting prisons and hospitals, ministering to the sick and the poor, professing to have renounced the world and bearing the sacred name of Jesus, who went about doing good. But under this blameless exterior, the most criminal and deadly purposes were often concealed. It was a fundamental principle of the order that the end justifies the means. By this code, lying, theft, perjury, assassination were not only pardonable, but commendable. When they served the interests of the church, under various disguises, the Jesuits worked their way into offices of state, climbing up to be the counselors of kings and shaping the policy of nations. They became servants to act as spies upon their masters. They established colleges for the sons of princes and nobles and schools for the common people. And the children of Protestant parents were drawn into an observance of popish rites. All the outward pomp and display of the Romish worship was brought to bear to confuse the mind and dazzle and captivate the imagination. And thus the liberty for which the fathers had toiled and bled was betrayed by the sons. The Jesuits rapidly spread themselves over Europe, and wherever they went, there followed a revival of popery. Of course, the writer of the book again is quoting from The Great Controversy, page 234 and 235. Continuing from chapter 13, it says this. Today the Pope's Jesuits are not only entrenched at the highest levels of all branches and departments of the U.S. government, but they are also entrenched at the highest levels of virtually all the major corporations and industries in the United States. The Jesuits are the major stockholders of many of the largest corporations. They own 51% of the stock in Bank of America, for instance. And because the papacy is a so-called church, they pay not one penny of taxes. Because they are a so-called church, they are able to operate internationally, outside of the laws and legal proceedings everyone else must follow. Here are a few of the Jesuit-controlled corporations that totally support their Jesuits in Congress and the government. American Airlines, TWA, Anheuser-Busch, AT&T, Bell Atlantic, Boeing, Cigna, Coca-Cola, Daimler Chrysler, Exxon Mobil, Shell, Ford Motor Company, General Electric, Hewlett Packard, Home Depot, May Company, McDonald's, Motorola, Philip Morris, Price Warehouse, Rite Aid, RJR Nabisco, Sony Corp of America, Texaco, United Parcel Service, Walt Disney Company, and Wells Fargo. These and other of their corporations give their Jesuit senators and congressmen in both the Democratic and Republican Party many thousands of dollars for their election campaigns. These senators and congressmen are the most radical and dangerous this country has ever had. They do everything they can to pass laws and regulations prohibited by our Constitution, laws designed to destroy the United States, to eliminate freedom, and to convert the United States into a ruthless tyranny. They lie constantly to deceive the people, so they will go along with the laws and regulations they want to pass. Everyone in high positions in the government takes a solemn oath to uphold and obey the Constitution, but nearly all of them totally ignore the Constitution. The President issues executive orders that are totally unconstitutional. and the Congress passes laws that the Constitution specifically forbids. Our God-given Constitution is the reason the United States has become the greatest country in the world, but it is being thoroughly undermined today by the Jesuits in government as they work to destroy the United States. The laws and regulations they pass are designed to export the industrial and manufacturing base of the United States to other countries. They are designed to destroy our energy base by restricting oil prospecting, fuel production, and nuclear power plants. The Jesuits in the House, Senate, and regulating agencies restrict the private use of land with non-essential environmental rules and regulations. They pass laws and regulations about what is proper to be taught in schools, so that children will grow up being extremely ignorant under the banner of being educated. The Jesuits are not recognized by the general populace because of their treachery and secrecy. They tell no one that they are Jesuits. They even belong to other churches, other organizations, and other cultures that they have infiltrated to hide their identity and to control these organizations. There are millions and millions of the Pope's Jesuits. They are everywhere. They are into everything. They are into every major organization and control nearly every political organization and government in the world. Because of the Jesuits' extreme secrecy, many of these organizations and governments are totally unaware that they are being infiltrated and controlled. It is easy to identify the Jesuits and the Jesuit puppets in the United States Congress because they are the ones that continually try to get all kinds of laws passed that require exactly the opposite from what the Constitution says. They continually pass laws that restrict the liberty of the citizens of the country. They continually pass laws to regulate every aspect of life in the United States. They continually pass laws that restrict freedom of speech, such as the Campaign Finance Reform Act. Incidentally, they always use names for these laws that will sound good to the American people, but rarely indicate what is in the law. They use every means they can to deceive the people of the country. Now, that's just a section of the book that I'm reading from. And as I said before, the title of the book is The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final Hours by Kirk Davis, originally published August 1982. And we were reading just from chapter 13. It is not accidental that Justice Gorsuch has been chosen and elected. It is not accidental that Brett Kavanaugh has been nominated and is about to be elected. Because the promise has been, as stated clearly in Charles Chiniquy's book, quoted by the writer of this book, Kirk Davis, that all of the United States of America will ultimately be taken over by the children and the followers of the papacy. Now, we've been warned of this for many, many years. And if you want to take a look at something really interesting, you'll find that on the Catholic Virginian website, there is a list here of the Catholics who have served on the Supreme Court. The title of that article is, Kavanaugh would be the 14th Catholic to serve on Supreme Court. We're not going to go through that list, but you can take a look at it yourself and see where it leads here. The United States of America is a Protestant nation. And yet, on the Supreme Court, there are 6 Catholics and 3 Jews. The fulfillment of that meeting that was held in Buffalo, New York in 1852, and you find it in Charles Chiniquy's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Now, you and I have been warned of this for many, many years. It is about time for us to take the warnings of God's Word seriously and prepare ourselves for the time to come. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us in the path of righteousness. We thank you that the warnings that you have given us are being literally fulfilled each day around us. We ask for continued strengthening and increasing faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, September the 14th, 2018.